Hello and welcome to Pod Rights. This is a series of podcasts from the Australian Human Rights Commission. I'm Graham Innes, the Disability Discrimination Commissioner. We live in an increasingly connected society. The National Broadband Network is rolling out fibre to the home across Australia. Emails are now passé. Facebook and Twitter are so 2011, and we're rushing on to Tumblr and Pinterest. The internet and social networks provide a huge range of wonderful opportunities, but can also be a challenge for some people, particularly for older Australians. Some of the ways to address that challenge have been the focus of Age Discrimination Commissioner Susan Ryan, and Susan joins me on Pod Rights today to discuss the topic. A parliamentarian and educator, Susan worked as a school teacher and tutored in English literature. She was elected as a senator for the ACT in 1975 and was the first woman to hold a cabinet post in a federal Labor government. In fact, she presided over the passage of the Sex Discrimination Act in 1984 as the minister assisting the Prime Minister. Since leaving politics, Susan has worked for Penguin Books, the Plastics Industry Association, and the Association of Superannuation Funds of Australia. And she's also been president of the Australian Institute of Superannuation Trustees and pro-chancellor of the University of New South Wales. So welcome again to Pod Rights, Susan.
Good morning, Graham.
Now, you've been speaking about age discrimination and the internet in relation to older people recently. What's the problem?
There's a huge problem, and let me tell you what it is. As you noted in your introduction, so many things that are part of life, an important part of our lives now in the 21st century, rely on connecting with the net.
Mm.
Maybe 20 years ago, it was either a business thing or a fun thing that you would do if you got onto the net. But
yep.
Now, essential services like your banking, like
yep.
shopping,
yep.
Offer a lot of government information that you need to have, say if you're on the age pension, it's on the net.
Mm.
Everything's on the net. So if you can't get on the net, you have become functionally illiterate in many important things in our society. And people over 60, we weren't part of the computer age.
Yeah.
If we've learned it, we've learned it later. A lot of people who have left the workforce have had no opportunity to become competent at getting on the net, knowing what they're looking for, protecting themselves against fraud and so forth. But while they're left outside, they're not just left outside of the fun of Facebook and so on, they're left outside of essential services, including increasingly health services.
Yeah, and it is less intuitive for older people, isn't it? I notice my 14-year-old just does stuff on the net so quickly and so intuitively, and I have to sort of think about it and plan it more. So it's just a skill that older Australians haven't had the same opportunities
to
develop.
Right. And it's not one of those things where you can just dive in and do it.
Yeah.
You do need initially some very targeted basic instruction, and you need to get that instruction by someone who understands what it's like not to know anything.
Yep.
So you really need the basics, you need a bit of ongoing training, and you need someone you can turn to for assistance if you run into a problem. Again, if you're working in a big office where there are loads of younger people who are like your daughter, completely competent with it, you can turn to one of your colleagues and say, oh my God, I've just lost a document, or what do I do? But if you were at home, you haven't got that. So so I'm very keen to see any training opportunities set up for older people accompanied by a sort of a follow-up, you know, a phone call for assistance kind of, and one of the things I have to say, there's a lot of information about how to use the net and how to protect yourself from scams and so on, but it's on the net. If it can't get on, so sometimes I feel we're running around in circles, but look, I'm sure we can make a breakthrough.
Sure.
But I've decided, Graham, as Age Discrimination Commissioner, that this is a major issue.
Sure.
I didn't have that view when I started the job, but having looked at what's happening, I'm now convinced that we need a concerted effort to ensure that people in their 60s, their 70s, their 80s, their 90s can access
the internet. How many older Australians are accessing the internet and social networks? Do we know?
Well, it's a low percentage. We're waiting for the most recent census stats to come out, but the census before showed less than 30% of people over 65.
Right.
And, of course, the proportion decreases as the age increases.
With age,
and yet the older you get, the more you need it because you might be housebound, you might have mobility problems. So it's a very low percentage compared with the rest of the population.
Yeah, my mum's in her 80s and I'm trying to set her up on Facebook because she is a little bit housebound, and I just sort of think it would actually broaden her horizons. But it's not an easy skill to learn when you're coming from not having a lot of those computer basics, as you said.
That's right, but it's worth the effort, Graham. So keep working with your mum and get that smart 14-year-old of yours in on the act too.
That's exactly what I've done. Yeah. I've heard you refer to the digital divide, and that's what you've talked about. But you think it is a real divide, don't you? Or it's not just something that people should take responsibility for themselves, or can take responsibility for themselves?
Look, I always believe that ultimately we can do something about our own circumstances, but it is a real divide, and it's a divide of the generations. As I said, the over 60s didn't have computers and internet and so on as a part of their education and work environment. So in that sense, and these are often people who are very literate and well-educated, but when it comes to the computer, they feel they know nothing.
Yeah.
So it's a divide that way, but it's also a divide in terms of access to services. If you can't do your banking online, if you can't shop online, now we hear a lot of debate at the moment about the value of shopping online. You can buy goods much cheaper than you can buy them in shops.
Yeah.
And that's very true. Mind you, some local retailers aren't happy about that, but that's a separate topic, Graham. You know, there is a lot of value to be had by being, particularly, you know, books from the big international online bookstores. Huge savings to be made, clothes, groceries. But, again, if you haven't got the access, you're not getting those services.
Yep.
And these days, you know, if you want to do your banking in a bank branch, well, that's a big call. You know, a lot of the big banking businesses closed down a lot of their suburban branches. Some have been reopened, but you've got to get there, you've got to queue up. So really, to get back to your question, it is a real divide between those who can access these services and those who can't.
And the shopping online, it can be a real price differential, can't it? I mean, I see more and more people who actually go into shops, but then pull out their smartphone and say, well, I can get this online at such and such a price. Why would I buy it here? Whereas an older person, if they don't have that knowledge and that capacity, are sort of going to pay the initial retail price.
That's right. And as I said, the local retailer's got something to say about that thing of sussing out the goods in a real store, and then, but that's a separate debate.
It is. Yep.
But the thing is, you can do that, or, you know, with, as I said, with books. I mean, I'm a great book buyer. You might have guessed that. You don't need to go into a bookstore to check. You can just go online, and you can see from the prices how advantageous they are, and the convenience of having it delivered to where you live. I
Absolutely.
Mean, that's fantastic. But and clothing again, basic clothing that where you know your sizes. I mean, I wouldn't go for a high, you know, a pricey fashion item. I'd need to try that on. But basic, you know, shoes that you know your size, you can purchase online, you know, jackets for the cold weather, those sorts of things where you don't have to sort of prance around and look in the mirror for an hour before you decide to buy.
Yeah.
Those sort of basics, you can just go online, and a lot of the online businesses have, you know, good catalogues of things. You go, oh yes, I can get that in red, or I can get that, you know, warm jumper in black, and away you go. Now, these are very important things because, as we know, older people who are retired from the paid workforce, in general, are on low incomes, very low. Not all, but many people are, because we know that, for example, about 80% of all people retired from paid work are on full or part age pension. So if you're on full age pension, you're on a very low income and you really need these bargains and get on the net. But even if you're on part pension, it means you've got a few other assets, but you know, you've qualified for part pension. So you have to be very careful with your budget. And again, these sorts of services, you know, you shouldn't be cut off from them.
No, absolutely. Susan, the NBN is going to provide some great opportunities as it rolls out, as I mentioned in my introduction. Are you concerned that if we don't take some action now, that this digital divide could actually widen?
I'm very concerned about that because from my perspective in my role, I'm looking at the promises about delivery of health services on the NBN. Mm. We know that more and more older people require health services, and more older people want to stay living in their own homes rather than going to residential care. Mm. We all support that choice. Mm. The government supports it because, in fact, to service people aging in their own home, it costs less than paying for residential care. So everyone's agreed that if you wish to age at home, you should be able to. But again, you need the NBN is supposed to provide you with the opportunity to go online to your to the pharmacist and say, look, I'm running out of these heart pills that I really need. Can you send them around to me?
Yep.
Or go online to a district nurse, describe your symptoms. Do I need to see a doctor? Mm. That sort of advice, it will be so wonderful if when the NBN delivers it. Mm. But again, if you're not online,
you can't access it.
And you're even worse off because the other thing that's happening with services is as they go online, in many cases they become then exclusively online.
Yes.
So, you know, you say, well, I can get it online, but I can get it some other way. Mm. But no, many things now are only online, and I think we'll see more of that. And there's been such a massive public investment in the NBN that I can't see governments of the future duplicating services.
Sure.
They put all the money into the NBN, so we have to make it work for older
people. For older people. Yep, absolutely. You've said training and education are an important part of this issue, but aren't there places to which older people can turn if they want to learn more about the internet and the NBN and social networks?
Look, adult education classes always include computer literacy and so forth. They're available. TAFE has courses that are available. But they're not always geographically located where they're easily accessible, and they're not always structured for the person who really is a beginner.
Yep.
They're sometimes structured for the person who wants to improve their skills or, you know, learn to do a spreadsheet or something like that.
Yep.
But the very basics, there isn't a lot about. Sometimes the businesses that sell the computer will sell a little package of instruction.
Mm.
There are two initiatives, one government and one private sector, that are very well aimed.
Mm-hmm.
The government's got the seniors cyber kiosks, and through the Department of Faxia, funds are available for a senior citizens club, residential place, or a community service where they can get computers and they can get some money to hire trainers.
Okay.
Now it's good, but it's not, a lot of people don't know about it.
Yes.
The money's been appropriated, but I think it's not being taken up because people, you know, a community organisation that's got a hall where they could offer this service don't necessarily know about it.
Okay.
And Telstra, I'm happy to say, they've got their Connected program.
Mm.
Again, now they're giving grants often through local councils, so that the local council can set up in their libraries similar courses, basic equipment, people to come in to train. But I was very pleased to be on radio just earlier this week, and I heard that a big council in Sydney, the Woollahra Council, is now working with a number of secondary schools in their area, and they're bringing in the senior secondary students who volunteer to do this with the older people in the area and providing several sessions of one-on-one.
What a great idea.
And this is the sort of thing I want to see spread. The Woollahra Council story came up while I was on air this week. The next day, another big council, the Randwick Council in the Sydney area, rang and said, we want to do this too. We've got loads of secondary schools in our area. We've got a lot of older people. How do we do it? So if say local councils, seniors organisations, NGOs that are really in the community, if they want to do something, there are two sources of funding support.
That's great. And the great thing about that is that it, I mean, I always regard older people as being able to share their experience and their life experience. And so what you facilitating there is a two-way process where young people can share their experience and knowledge of computers, but older people can share those much broader life skills. I think that's a great welding of groups in the community together. So it has that real spin-off as well.
Oh, look, it certainly does. And I've just heard anecdotally that what you've described is actually happening. You know, the 16 or 17-year-old boy goes along to teach a guy in his 80s how to do this, but they click and then next minute he's, you know, the young man is asking the older man about his life, what things were like when he was 16, and a real relationship can grow, and I think that is fantastic.
I agree.
And remembering that a lot of our senior students these days don't have grandparents nearby because of the way families move around. Well, we've had so many migrants for a start. And they don't, often they don't have their grandparents, but even, you know, Sydney kids, their grandparents might be up in Queensland or in the West. And so this opportunity to have this encounter with older people can be very fruitful both ways. So I'm hoping that sort of grassroots through local communities program, supported with a bit of cash from the government or from Telstra or whoever, but that it will turn into a bit of a community initiative, and I know that it will work.
Susan, I want to come to another area which is concerning, and that's the area of scams, because I know you've talked about this. What are some of the scams look like that you've talked about, and you know, things such as advanced fee scams and etc. And what helps available in relation to these? Because that's important that people are aware of that.
Look, it's very important, Graham, because we know from some research available to us that a lot of older people who aren't on the net give as their reason for not even attempting it fear of being scammed. They read about the scams in the paper, or they know it happened to someone, and they say, if I go on the net, you know, my privacy will be invaded. You know, if I try to do my banking on the net, these thieves will be getting into my bank account. And there's a lot of nervousness. And unfortunately, the nervousness is well-founded because a lot of scams happen. And the research on scams show that you're more likely to be scammed the less familiar you are with the internet. And you can understand that.
Sure, and that's true of anyone. That's not
exactly. It's not just age, but it does correlate with age for the other reasons I've given. Well, what do scams look like? Now, Graham, if you or I get an appeal from a woman in Nigeria who says she has millions of dollars and wants to put it into our bank account for us to mind it, but would we send her our bank details? We will hit the delete button.
Exactly,
Because we've seen it.
Because we've seen it before.
But if you see it for the first time and you're a person who worries about what's happening in Nigeria, you think, oh, well, maybe I should try and help this person. Another very common scam, so anything from a foreign country where you have no connections, hit the delete button. But another thing that comes in, you have won a prize in a lottery.
Yes.
And it's, you know, it's $1 million or, you know, but you have to send us $200, you know, as a deposit, and we'll send it to you. Now, again, anyone who's used to the computer hits the delete button, but many older people have succumbed to that scam. Advanced fees. People email them and say, we've got this bargain price, we've got a new television, something, some household item, we've got a special shipment of them. You can have it for half the retail cost, but but you need to send a deposit and we'll secure one for you. Advanced fee scams. Well, well, then the new television never turns up. Or if something turns up, it's some broken down old thing. So those scams, again, when you're familiar with the internet, you think no one would cooperate with this, but people who are not familiar do. And the other area, of course, as you said, Facebook, I don't know whether your mother's nervous about this, but some people are nervous about going on Facebook because they feel their private details, you know, their children and grandchildren.
She is quite nervous about that, that's one of the issues we're working with,
Well, that's right, that's right. So that they are real problems.
Mm.
How do we help people? Well, again, when I was researching this topic, I found there is a lot of advice. ASIC's got it, ACCC's got it. A lot of government agencies have got advice about how to recognise scams and how to avoid them, but that advice is on the internet.
Yeah.
So my view is that we should be using to advise people, first of all, about the benefits of the internet use, but also to give them confidence so that they can avoid scams and privacy invasions. We need to use the media that older people are using.
Mm-hmm.
Radio is a huge one.
Mm.
We know that a lot of older
Lots of people listen to radio. Yeah.
Radio, TV, that's certainly around the programs that we know older people like to watch.
Mm.
Magazines, there are loads of seniors magazines targeting. And look, even the good old daily tabloids, we know that they are still bought by a lot of older people, just to get the information there.
Yes.
Not thinking, oh, well, look, it's all on the net.
Mm, mm, yeah. Or even explaining in those sorts of mediums whereabouts on the net it is.
And how to get on.
That's right. Yeah.
Yes, before you ever send your money or your banking details, go to this site and ask these questions.
Yeah.
And certainly, I don't want to sound critical of a lot of the information that's on the net. ASIC in particular, I think is very basic and good, but you need to know how to get there.
Sure, yeah. Well, Susan, thank you. We blithely send out our tweets and play words with friends, but we don't often think about the challenges for particular groups in our society. And I know from personal experience that access for people with a disability is another one, but access for older Australians is one that we need to watch, and it's important that we include everyone as our society changes and moves more towards being online. It's important that we include everyone in that process. So thanks for talking with me about it today.
My pleasure.
And thanks to all of you listening to PodRights. Remember, this podcast is for you. So if you have a suggestion of someone with whom I should talk or a comment on the podcast, please email me at podrights@humanrights.gov.au or find me and message me on Facebook or Twitter. Just search for Graeme Innes, GraeMeInnes. Also, if you want to engage more on human rights issues, then have a look at our Something in Common project, our site at tellmesomethingidontknow.gov.au. where you can read fascinating human rights facts and stories, participate in polls, add your own content, and find out what you can do to advance human rights issues in Australia. And just thinking about stories, Susan, one of the things I didn't mention, but another one of your initiatives has been the age-positive stories that we're putting up on our website, and there's some fantastic stories up there, isn't there?
Terrific, really inspirational. But we want more.
Yeah,
anyone who's listening, send in your story or your grandmother's or your grandfather's, 300 words and a picture. It's so inspirational for other people to see what older people are contributing in a variety of ways to our society.
Well, I have to tell you, it's so inspirational that that's what got me onto getting my mum onto Facebook. I read some of those stories. So, you know, there's a real sort of example of how they can benefit other people. So, yeah, please send them in. And keep your podcatchers ready for the next PodRights in the series, because human rights are for everyone, everywhere, every day. I'm Graeme Innes. Goodbye for now.